I'd like to welcome everyone out to the service this morning, and we welcome as our preacher today the Reverend Trevor Baxter. The evening service at 7 p.m., preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and the preacher will again be the Reverend Baxter. And on Thursday at 8 p.m. is the Bible study and prayer meeting, and the speaker will be the Reverend Marcus Leckie. Next Lord's Day, the services at the usual times of 11:30 and 7. And the preacher will be Mr. Ian Campbell, who is an elder in Mourne Free Presbyterian Church. There is a Helping Hands meeting on Saturday, the 18th of May, at 1 p.m. in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. It's an occasional fellowship for those who are experiencing challenging times, followed by a light lunch. And registration is encouraged, and the Reverend Leckie can supply the contact number for that. And on Thursday, the 11th of June at 8 p.m., in Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, is a welcome home service for the Reverend and Mrs. Malcolm Patterson, who are retiring from the mission. And the speaker at that will be the Reverend Colin Mercer, who's the chairman of the Mission Board. And the Mission Board barbecue is on Saturday, the 1st of June at 6 p.m. at Mr. Paul Haffey's farm in Macrolin, and proceeds from that are going to the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda.
Amen. Thank you very much indeed. Good to be back again after quite a long spell of not being here. We've some blessed memories, of course, of our time here in the inter-moderator's position. Some very interesting events. I remember one day we must have, I think Mr. Paisley was maybe coming to speak at an afternoon meeting, and we were standing in the hall waiting for the arrivals when this wee minister came in. I didn't really know, I thought I recognised him, but I just wasn't sure. I knew he wasn't one of ours, and it turned out anyway that he was the moderator of the Presbyterian Church, and he'd come to speak at the Presbyterian Church service. And when I smiled and I said to him, "Sir, I don't think you're in the right building." Well, folks, you've never seen a man get out of a church as quick in all your life. When he saw the burning bush, I suppose he took it for granted that it was here, but I think it was a Reverend, was it Dickinson maybe? I can't remember. But anyway, he got out very quickly. But we're glad to be back again, and we do trust that the Lord will bless you, been remembering you. You're in a position now of a number of other churches where there's a vacant pulpit, and it's getting very, very difficult to get preachers. I was just telling the men this morning that in the next 13 years, we have about 30 ministers retiring, so there's going to have to be a big intake of students. And so if any of you feel that the Lord would want you to be a student, well, it's a good opportunity to get in there and get trained. We're glad to be here. We truly trust the Lord will bless us. I came this morning in a way that I had never come to Six Mile Cross before. I just wondered where we were. But the sat-nav assured me that we'd make it across from Tandragee in about an hour. It's only 40-something miles. But it's a wee bit, it's around about that distance. But the wife's sat-nav and the phone was working well, and we got here and we're thankful. Now we just have to get back to my daughter's in Dungannon for dinner and then get back again tonight here for the meeting. But we're looking forward to being here again this evening. 548 is our opening hymn, please, on page 397. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be his helpers? Other lives to bring. 548, and we'll stand, please, as we sing the hymn.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We'll bow, please, in a wee word of prayer together. Let's just lift our hearts unto the Lord this morning. Especially remembering, of course, the family of our brother, Mr. Ernie Monteith, who went to be with the Saviour just very recently there. I have many memories of Mr. Monteith and his wife in the early days. Many a dinner I had in that home. I remember the first time, I think it was the first time in their home, the dinner was brought out, beautiful dinner, of course. But I noticed that all the potatoes were covered with skins. I'd never seen that in my life before. In Belfast, that just wasn't, that was nothing. You just didn't do those things. And of course, me being me, as clumsy Claude, I think Molly had, one of them anyway, had to peel the sponge for me to get them onto my plate. And I was in a restaurant recently, and they're selling as starters skins of potatoes filled with stuff, and you pay about 7 or 8 quid for them. So I thought to myself, that's a strange business, all right. But anyway, we have pleasant memories of the early days, and we thank God for a faithful man in the church over the years. Do comfort, Lord, that family is our prayer, and the Lord will be with them and be with them at the funeral services as well. Let's pray together. Lord, we realize that in the midst of life, we are in death. And we know, Lord, that it can come at any age, to anyone, and at any time. But we bless thee when a soul passes from time into eternity, if they have their faith and their trust firmly fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing his promise that he has said they'll never perish. And Lord, we thank thee that our brother Ernie is with Christ today, his first Sabbath in the glory. And we thank thee that he's already swept through those gates of the New Jerusalem, singing washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because, Lord, that's the basis of redemption. Without the blood, there can be no remission for sins. We ask you to bless that family just now. O God, draw near in mercy and in love and in grace. Put your hand upon them. May they know thy sweet presence in these times of sadness. Lord, yet mingled with that sadness, there's that blessed hope that the dear one taken from the family is with the Lord. And, O God, that's always far better. Be with all here in this meeting today. We remember those that may be associated with Six Mile Cross that are laid aside, that are ill, maybe not even able to get to thy house anymore. O God, bless them wherever they would be this morning. May their hearts be comforted and their spirits and souls and faith be strengthened. We pray, Lord, you'd bless this work as they have to get involved now in this task of calling a preacher. Never easy to get the right preacher who will know that God has called him and led him. But Lord, we pray that here in this place, the Lord would direct the thoughts of his servant, whoever he may be, that will come to fill the vacancy here. Bless session, committee, and people. Grant, Lord, that together they will go forward, knowing God's will is perfect. So bless us now today, and bless the churches all across the world where Christ is preached. We're mindful, Lord, of this terrible situation in Israel and Gaza, and they now with Iran been involved, a cruel people, a barbarous people. Lord, we pray that the peace of Jerusalem will be maintained in that sense, and we want to pray for that peace. We pray, Lord, that you'll show to men and women, and you'll show to the Israelis indeed, their Messiah. They're not waiting for him to come. He's already come, praise the Lord. turn their eyes upon Jesus. We're glad, Lord, there's a day coming when the people of Israel, the Jewish people, will be born in a day. And they will see him, the one who died for sinners. Oh, hear us now in our prayers, Lord, and come and bless us in our time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. 539, please, is the next hymn on page 393. Well known to us all, of course. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. 539, we'll stand again, please, as we sing. I want to turn our scripture reading. I just want to be sure I'm on the right grounds here. When I never asked this morning, I should have. Do you take up a collection? The reason I'm asking that, folks, is there are some churches that still don't, and they haven't since COVID done this. And I often wondered about it myself, but there you are. But there will be an offering hymn as soon as we read the Word of God this morning. And we're turning, please, to the book of Joshua. And the chapter 6, the book of Joshua, chapter 6, we commence to read at the verse number 1, please. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, And the seventh day ye shall compass a city seven times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Joshua the son of Nun called the priests, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp, so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on that day they compassed the city seven times. It came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold, and vessels of brass and iron, are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and ass, with the edge of the sword. We'll end our reading there at verse 21, folks. We know the Lord will bless the truth of his word to all of our hearts. Amen. Now the offering hymn, please. 565, beautiful hymn. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe, strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender. We rest on thee and in thy name we go. We'll keep our seats, please. The first part of the hymn as your offering is received. 565. Let's stand for the final verse, please. Bibles before us, beloved, let's just bow at a moment of prayer, please. Lord, we turn to thy word this morning. We pray for help in the giving forth of the truth of God. We pray for receptive hearts among us all. We pray, Lord, that what we hear today will be a blessing and a challenge. Help this preacher with all his weakness and infirmity to lift high the banner of the cross, the name of our God, Jehovah. Be with us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we've read this morning, a very important moment in the history of the children of Israel. And I'm sure our minds are very much at this time with the people of God, the ancient people of God in the land of Israel. One of our public representatives has just returned from a visit to the Holy Land and had some interesting contacts with government officials and some military men as well. And he was hearing some wonderful facts about how advanced that wee nation is. And friends, it's so tiny you would hardly see it in the map. And it's surrounded by nations that hate them. But he was telling me, for example, you know the trouble we have in Northern Ireland with potholes? They're all over the place. I certainly encountered a few this morning coming across the country. In Tel Aviv, if there's a pothole, it's fixed within 24 hours. That's their policy. Has to be done. And if your dustbin gets too full, a bleeper goes off and lets you know you need to look into that. Things like that, time they brought some of that stuff over here. But that little nation, as we all know, ever since their birth, they've had trials and troubles. And the Lord has always brought them through. Here you see it again, even in the battle for Jericho. After many years of wandering, they had entered into the land of promise, about to claim everything that the Lord had promised them, but it wasn't going to come cheap. Many battles would have to be fought, many problems overcome. One problem was an immediate one. It was Jericho. Now you might wonder, beloved, how a book like Joshua with its wars and conflicts has any message for us today. But it does, you know. We live in a day of warfare, spiritually warfare and conflict. We need to know how to fight, what to do in order to follow the Lord, our God, in victory. And I have a look at this passage, and those of you who know me will know I'll not be very long. There's a practical reason now as well as a biblical one. I'm not able to stand for too great a length of time. But I want you to notice one thing, three things, but one thing first of all. That the people of Israel at Jericho's wall faced an impossible task. Israel's soldiers probably had never seen a city like this with walls like this before. Now you put yourself in their shoes. The outer wall of Jericho was 6 foot thick, It was 20 foot high. The inner wall was 12 foot thick and 30 feet high. And between the walls, there was a guarded walkway, 15 foot wide. This city had never been conquered before. It is regarded, of course, as the oldest city in the world. But it had never been conquered. You know, in your life and in mine, you may face problems, maybe some of you have, that appear impossible to resolve. But remember this, not with God. Every problem you have, he can resolve it. I was thinking of the Apostle Paul just yesterday in a reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just read it to you. You'll know the verse as well, of course. Chapter 12, verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. This was given to Paul so he wouldn't get a big head about himself. Remember a young minister coming to our youth fellowship in Raven Hill many years ago with his youth fellowship from a church up the country. And he looked round our youth group, I suppose at that time, we had about 40 young people going. And he said to me rather disdainfully, "Is that all you have here?" I said, "Oh yes, that's about it. It's about average." "Oh," he says, "brother, I have far more in my young people's fellowship." And he was so boastful. I felt like saying to him, but grace prevailed. I felt like saying, "Oh, but down here we're worried about quality, not quantity." But I didn't say it. Should have maybe said it. Needless to say, that young fellow wasn't long before he blew up and no longer about the ministry whatsoever. But that's by the way. Didn't want Paul to get a big head about it, to get an ego. And mind you, if any man could do it, Paul could. He was the greatest intellect of his day, the greatest missionary and teacher of his day, the greatest servant of Christ that was alive at that time in all probability. And he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul says, "More gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Friend, it's your weakness that manifests God's strength. And you can be in the most horrendous position, weak, but the Lord's your strength. I have a young man. Well, he was a member of the Ballina Hinch Church. I still visit him in the home that he's in. Just with him, in fact, this past week. And this young man is paralyzed from the neck down. The only thing he can move is his head. Even to turn up the iPad, he just turns his head to a pad beside him. It's 20 years. He's been in that bed and in that situation. Some years at home he spent before he went to the home he's now in. And you know, I go and visit him to encourage him. Every time I leave him, sometimes with tears in my eyes, it's him that has encouraged me. Ach, he said to me yesterday, he said, "Will I tell you, there's always somebody worse off than we are." And I couldn't think of anybody who was worse off than him. But he took pleasure, he seemed to take pleasure in his weakness. And he's a tremendous witness. They've even rigged up a meeting in Ballina Hinch. I had him when he was able to come in a wheelchair. But they've done it again from his bed in the home he's now in the Castlereagh Hills. It's amazing. There's always somebody worse. I have gone from him encouraged. Sometimes we question why, maybe. He has never, at least verbally, to anybody, said anything like that. You see, we've all got problems. This was a very frustrating thing for the Apostle Paul. He was a great healer. He healed multitudes. He even raised the dead. But he had his own sickness and trouble to deal with. He's not like the charismatic people of our day that believe all sickness and all affliction comes from the devil. No, it doesn't. Paul suffered. He left Trophimus at Miletum because he was sick. He told Timothy to get a little wine into him for his stomach's sake and your oft infirmities. Why didn't he heal those people? Why didn't he heal himself? You see, it's the Lord's will, James 4 tells us, if we live or do this or that. How did Paul cope with it? He obeyed God. Paul, my grace is all you need. And that's what the children of Israel had to do here at Jericho's wall. Don't be defeated by the size of the wall. Friend, leave it all in the hand of God. Your problem, whatever it is, it could be spiritual, it could be financial, it could be sickness related, it could be mentally related. I don't know. But I know that this book tells me the Lord will keep you in perfect peace if you stay your mind on him. Focus on Christ. That's all you need. They faced an impossible task. But I'll tell you something else they did. They focused upon infallible truth. Verse 2 of chapter 6. The Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king and the mighty men of valor. It hadn't happened yet. God said it was done. As far as he was concerned, and as far as events will prove. But all Joshua had was the promise of God. And friend, listen, that's all he need. Victory was promised before they even began the conflict. The promise was all they had, and it was enough. Wasn't it Nicholson said? When a man said, all you have is words on a paper, meaning the scriptures. Nicholson said, that's right, but it's God's writing that's on the paper. And that's what makes the difference. Just think upon the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Think of that. This is the promise you have from God's word, friend. And you need to focus on it. Because the Bible's infallible, it's inerrant, as originally given in the original languages. The Hebrew and Greek and the Aramaic of the received text is the word of God. If the King of France issues a royal decree to the French people, to the world in the French language, translating it into the English language does not diminish its authority. When our translators translated the scriptures in 1611, they didn't change the teaching of the Bible as many modern versions do. They just gave us the old religion that we have imbibed and embraced and which we love. Every promise. You know, every battle that you fight as a Christian, it's prearranged. Remember Paul in Romans 8? All things, not just some things, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. The Lord promises power for the day of battle. Did you read the list of the Christian armor in Ephesians chapter 6? In 1 Corinthians 15:57, he promises ongoing victory for the child of God. And he promises in Hebrews 13 and Matthew 28 that when we fight, we'll not fight alone. But all we have is the infallible, inerrant, unchanging and unchangeable Word of God. And folks, with that, we can face any task that the devil throws our way. For with Christ in the vessel, I want to tell you, we can smile at the storm. Tell me, is Christ in the vessel with you in your times of difficulty? We've all had them, folks. I'm mindful of not the first occasion, but one of two or several, where I was just going to quit. I actually sat down and started to write out my letter of resignation, why I was going to quit the ministry. And then the thought hit me very forcibly, has God called you to this work? Are you resting on the promises that the Lord gave you when you went into the college and started to train and got ordained and got into church work and all of that? Things are not easy for us, but the Lord has brought us through. I'm preaching, I suppose, now about 56 years on a fairly regular basis. And I'm glad that when those tasks that seemed impossible to overcome, the Lord gave the grace, we were able to say at the end of it, His grace truly was sufficient. That's why we stay the course, because we're focused on the infallible truth. But then, you know, the third thing, they formed an invincible troop. All they did, these Israelites, was done at the behest of God. He was in control. Go back a chapter in Joshua to chapter 5 and read verses 13 to 15. And here's what you'll read. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. Why did he do that? Didn't seem to recognize who was in front of him, verse 13. But once this person spoke and revealed that he was captain of the Lord's host, am I come. And Joshua fell on his face. He worshipped because he knew it was the Lord. This is what's called in theological jargon a pre-incarnation visit of the Lord Jesus. It's a Christophany, to give it its title. More a theophany, yes, but in particular a Christophany. This was Christ. He's the captain of the Lord's host. Wouldn't it be good to know, friend, that the Lord's fighting your battle for you, that the sword's in his hand too? It would be a great encouragement. Verse 15, the captain said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. He discovered he wasn't alone. He had more than Israel's army with him. He had more than a magnificent wall in front of him. He had the focus on the word, and now he saw the word. Isn't that wonderful? You not only live by the word, but you live by faith in seeing the word. You see, beloved, he didn't come to take sides. The Lord came to take over. And that's what he did here. The battle is not yours, Joshua. It's the Lord's. You're not alone. You're in a war. You're facing a wall. Remember, you've got some weapons. Let me tell you a wee thing, just you'll maybe find it interesting, just in passing. I certainly did when I came upon this in the book of Ephesians, I think it is. Yeah, of course it is. It's the armour of God in Ephesians 6. Just to turn to Ephesians 6 for a moment, just for a moment. The armour is listed, of course, as you know. Verse 17 tells us in Ephesians 6, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, the sword is the only weapon of offence. All the rest of the armour is for defence. The sword is for offence. Now, that word that's used here, the word of God, the word in Greek, in the original, it's usually the word logos. We all know that. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is called, the logos of God, the word of God. But the word that's used here is the word rhema, which is a different word. It's a particular word. In other words, a particular sword for a particular battle. You remember when the Lord Jesus was tempted of the devil in Matthew 4, in those three temptations. It's the word rhema again. The Lord drew from the armory of God, from the word, the section of Deuteronomy. That's where those three quotations come from the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 6 and chapter 8, I think. And the Lord took that sword, that word, as the sword of the Spirit, and just stuck it right into the devil. And the Bible says the devil left him for a season. And that's an interesting thought in itself. He didn't leave him for all time. He left him for a season. If he's attacking you today and you overcome it and you win the battle and you win the conflict, he's not going to leave you alone forever. He'll keep coming back. But you must keep drawing the sword that's applicable. The sword of the Spirit, friend, which is the word of God. He has promised in Joshua and Jeremiah 33 and 3 that he will hear when we pray. And then there's a text there in Isaiah 65, which is a very interesting text as well. Let me just read it to you. Isaiah chapter 65. And it's the verse, if I can find it now, I've lost it. Oh, there's it now. 24 says this. Isaiah 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass. Now this is prophetical. You notice that? It shall come to pass that before they call, friend, before you even pray about this, I will answer and hear while they're yet speaking. When you're telling the Lord about your problems, he'll have already heard it. I think that's tremendous text. He tells us in John 14 that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now you've got to take that verse very carefully. Some people have had the audacity to pray that they might win the lottery. Well, that's not the sort of thing you pray for. That's not what Jesus is saying here. Because if you look at the text over there in 1 John 5, verses 14, 15, if you ask anything according to my will, I will do it. If it's the will of God and you pray for it in Jesus' name, you'll get it. And remember further, brethren and sisters, that no is sometimes an answer from God as well as yes. He may answer your prayer and say to you no. That's what he said to Paul. You're not going to lose this thorn in the flesh, but my grace, it'll look after you, you'll be all right. That's the glory, that's the wonder of this. And of course he helps us to pray, as we're told in Romans 8, with groanings which cannot be uttered. I remember years ago, there was a man from India. Most of you maybe never heard of him. He was called Jordan Khan. I remember picking him up at the Belgravia Hotel and taking him over to Ravenhill Church. He was an Indian man. And I knew the moment that man sat beside me in the car that I was in the presence of a man of God. I can't explain it. But oh, the man just exuded Christ just as he sat there and talked to me. We spent a half night of prayer with him and a few others. And I have to be honest, I watched him. And that man never moved a muscle. He knelt in prayer. He never moved for 4 hours. But every so often, you could hear a groan coming from the depths of his being. And the one word I lifted before he actually prayed out loud was the word, Father. Father. Tremendous man of God. Groanings that cannot be uttered. I never forgot him. I think he's in heaven now. It's a long time ago, of course. But anyway, I have to hurry on. We're finishing now. It was J. Sidlow Baxter. What a good name he had. He said, I quote, "Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our argument, but they are helpless against our prayers," unquote. That's true. All they did, these men, was obey God's word. Ah, if only Christians today would do that. You know, if God's people would do that and obey the Lord, that wee room up there wouldn't hold the prayer meeting of a Tuesday or Wednesday night, whenever you have it. Everybody would be there. The whole church, you know, in the early church, all of them, men, women, and even children in those days, they were at the place of prayer. And this is the will of God. God wants us to pray and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And if your church has 2 services on the Sabbath, you ought to be at them. And if you have young children that have to go to bed early, one should be at them anyway from the family. Why? Not because it pleases the minister, although it would do, but because it's the will of God. And that's what's happening here in this passage. That's why they had the victory. Now, their tactics were very strange. Just walked round and round the city, and they weren't to say a word. Aye, could you get a crowd of Free Presbyterians to walk round 6 Mile Cross for 7 days and not speak? Difficult, wouldn't it? That's the miracle of it. We're not talking only about the ladies and the men. Nobody was allowed to speak. And nobody did. That was the incredible thing. But you see, not only was their tactic strange, but their triumph was sure. Because they had a word from God from verses 2 through 6 in the chapter. They believed that word, verses 8 to 20. And they believed it by faith. God gave the victory. His work done in his way is always the right way. Oh, beloved, may the Lord help us as Christians to ever do that right thing in his sight, to obey his word as far as lieth within us. Remember a wee man from the Brethren many years ago, when I was first saved, man, he was given off about the free church. He said, you know, the scripture says you're to live peaceably with all men. I didn't know that scripture. And I still don't know it because it doesn't say that in the Bible at all. I didn't know to say to him, but I could have said to him had I known. No, that's not what the scripture says, sir. The Bible says, as far as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. But you can't be at peace with men that hate the Lord. The psalmist had a problem, hadn't he? Don't I hate them that hate thee, Lord? No, you've got to obey the Lord's word as far as you can. And in our frailties, of course, we fail. And we will fail. But, beloved, our strength is in the Lord. And in his name we shall conquer. There's a lovely wee hymn. We're going to finish with it, please. It's only 3 verses. 5:2-6. I have only one life on this earth. And as vapor it's passing away, I must labor for treasures of worth ere toil ends at the close of the day. 5:26, we'll ask you to stand, please, again to sing. Thank you. Folks, I don't generally go to the door these days, not because I don't want to shake hands with you, but I always did go to the door, of course, but because by the time I get to the door, you'll be sitting down to your dinner. So you can understand that. Anyone wants a word, of course, I'm here in the pulpit. I'd be glad to speak to someone. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank thee tonight, today, that thy word is true. We cannot argue with infallible truth. We pray you'd bless your word to all of our hearts. Bless this little flock here in Six Mile Cross. We thank thee for them. Lord, we pray that you'd bless them abundantly in the days that lie ahead. Do be with us this evening in the gospel service. May it please the Lord somehow to bring a sinner in unto the sound of the word of God. Separate us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.